My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to our Papaw on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. I think we have another valuable show for you today. We're going to be discussing strategies for passing wealth to your children. As always, if you hear anything on our show today that you would like a little more information on, give me a call at 812-787-0809. You can always visit us online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com. And while you're on the website, click on the radio page and you can check out our past shows. And I would also encourage you to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, or Amazon Music. And to do that, just subscribe to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. You know, over the last several years, we've seen a lot of news stories discussing what has been called the Great Wealth Transfer. And this wealth transfer is happening as baby boomers begin handing off assets that they've accumulated over their lifetime to their kids and their grandkids. And just a couple of statistics to share with you here. Baby boomers, that silent generation, they're expected to pass down an estimated $84.4 trillion in assets between now and 2045. And of that, almost $73 trillion will be going to their heirs. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of our nation. And that is obviously cause for some discussion, and that's what we're going to be doing here this week and again next week. So during our show today, we are going to be discussing we baby boomers. I'm one. If you were born between 1946 and 1964, you're considered a baby boomer. And we're going to be looking at some ideas for handing off these assets in thoughtful and strategic ways to those that are coming along after us. Before we get into that, I do need to remind everyone that, you know, we're not an attorney. We do not give legal or tax advice in our capacity. And we would encourage you to, you know, keep your attorney and your tax preparer as integral parts of your overall financial team along with your financial advisor. Well, let's bring in our co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, welcome back. And we've got more important information for our listeners on this topic of, you know, the great wealth transfer. So thanks for being along, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for having me. It's great to be on your show with you once again. I really appreciate that. I think this is going to be a good one. Great show, a key financial topic, transferring wealth to our kids. That's an important one for my wife and I and for so many people out there. And with the potential for higher taxes always on our minds, you know, making sure we transfer our assets to our kids in a tax smart way, well, that's really important. I mean, this topic is huge. And I'm looking forward to the information that you've got for us today regarding this. And for our listeners out there, I appreciate them tuning in. I'm sure this is going to be a good one. Mike, I know you've been really busy, haven't you?
It has been crazy busy, as I say from time to time, Tony. It really has. You know, I think people are grasping the message that we've been sharing here from Compass Retirement Advisors. There's more news media giving coverage to the topics that we've talked about, you know, the debt issues, the tax issues, the president's out with his tax proposal. You know, we have the Trump tax cuts expiring at the end of next year. So I think a lot of things are coming together in our listeners' minds, and our phone's ringing. We had just a phenomenal response at the three meetings we did in Jasper and Huntingburg back in April with attendance and follow-up calls. So, yeah, it's been extremely busy, and I'm just thankful that we get to share information and to help our listeners as they put together their plans. So today, we're going to look at a Kiplinger article. The title is Three Ways Parents Can Transfer Wealth to Help Their Kids. And I do believe there are some interesting insights that we're going to be covering for transferring the assets. And the big key is we want to transfer assets in a way that does not burden our heirs with extra tax. And, you know, that's really important to me personally. You know, I don't want to create issues for my son and my daughter whenever they receive assets that we want them to have. And I need to have a thoughtful and a well-prepared plan in place for distributing those assets. And, you know, it's something that needs to be in place now. It needs to be in place today because we don't know when we may be called away and the funds are going to be en route to them. So you want to put these things in place well ahead of time. So the first type of account we want to cover is a custodial account. And when our kids are young, it's something to consider. You know, some parents will open a uniform transfer to minors account, or UTMA for short, UTMA. Or we might consider using an UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors Act. And these accounts are typically opened to help our kids, you know, save the cash that they accumulate from birthdays and holidays and maybe some other gifts that we give them. You know, maybe grandma and grandpa just you know, give a graduation gift, or, you know, that could be, you know, grade school graduation, junior high graduation, or other. But when the child is still a minor, it's probably not a good idea to let them control the funds, and so a custodian is named on the account. And the custodian controls the assets on their behalf. Now, there comes a time when that custodianship is going to terminate. And that often happens when the child reaches, you know, 18 to 25. And at that time, as I said, legal control of these assets fall to the child. And they're in control and can make the decisions. And the hope is that at that time, they're capable of making wise decisions on how to spend, you know, those assets. You know, if the account does have a significant amount of money, it still may not be the wisest decision to just outright, you know, give the child the gift, especially one who's just entering, you know, adulthood, who are, you know, 18, 20, 22 years old. You know, how are they going to handle a significant amount of cash? So we need to consider, you know, the child's maturity. You know, kids mature at different rates, and we want to make sure that they're capable of handling these gifts before we as parents turn that control over. You know, I've seen cases in my extended family where my uncle passed away, and some funds went to his teenage son, and all of a sudden he had so many more friends than he had, you know, beforehand, and there's pressures that come along with that. And so this is an important issue, you know, making sure that before we give our kids funds that they are able to handle it, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of parents would agree that just handing an 18-year-old thousands of dollars is not a good idea. Even if you've got a great kid, that's probably not great. So you want to make sure you have something in place to deal with that, right?
Absolutely. And fortunately, you know, there are options. There are financial products and financial tools and designations that you can utilize to avoid, you know, that scenario. You know, an alternative to a custodial account might be something like a trust that could be used. You might set up a limited liability company or a limited partnership. You know, those are ways to potentially transfer custodian account assets instead of just letting it go to the child when they, you know, reach 18 to 25. You can you funnel it through these types of accounts so it doesn't go directly to them. And if it's done right, you know, using one of these alternatives might provide a new and a longer lasting control, you know, on these assets. And it's all about, you know, control. And it's an important issue, especially if there are any questions at all regarding the child's ability, you know, to make the wise decision. You know, when our kids are young, and you anticipate that a custodial account might be the way to go, if you think that that's going to eventually have a considerable amount of money in there, then you might want to, you know, focus on a trust structure of some type from the get-go, and that's when you need to work with your attorney to put that in place. But we want you to be aware that there are several alternative strategies, and they're going to be dependent on a couple of things. You know, what are the laws within the state where you live? And then, as we always want to stress, you know, what are the unique family circumstances? What's going on within your household? What's going on, you know, in the lives of you and in your kids that needs to be considered as you work toward making a decision on how to best pass these? And I would encourage you to go over all the various options with your financial services professional, your advisor, your legal professional as well. And do this long before your child reaches the age when they'll be granted access to the funds and before they'll assume control.
Yeah. Well, and I think most parents out there, Mike, are driven to do everything they can for their kids. So working with somebody like you to help secure their children's future assets is a really good move, in my opinion.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Tony. And we've talked over the last 3 years on our show here, the importance of creating an advisor team, you know, a complete team. And it includes someone like myself who serves, you know, from the investment advisor side, but you also need to have relationships, you know, with the attorney. You need to have relationships with a CPA or a qualified tax professional, because at different times you need input from the various professions, and then you need people who can execute the documents for you, and that's something that, you know, you may need the attorney to do. But, you know, funding a child's education or medical expenses, those can be another way that you could transfer, you know, some of your assets. Many folks, especially those who we might consider, you know, high net worth people, they may be inclined to simply, you know, write a check with their kids, you know, to cover some expenses. But, you know, there are other considerations, you know, depending on the situation, the amount of money. You could be looking at some estate tax or some gift tax issues. And there may be, you know, some better options, perhaps, you know, paying the educational or the medical institution direct. And, you know, as we make these decisions, you know, this is a perfect example. We have to keep in mind, you know, the bigger picture. While it might seem, you know, kind of a cut and dried a decision to write the kids a check, on the big picture end of things, you have to keep in mind, as I said, things like estate tax and gift tax issues. You know, in this scenario, there's another area that we want you to be aware of, and you may be able to utilize the IRS's qualified transfer rule. And this is part of Section 2503E. And that section of the code dictates that direct payments made to a child's education or medical institution may be excluded. And the key there is may be excluded from federal gift tax rules. So you want to become, you know, familiar with this. And again, you call and consult with the appropriate legal professional. Additionally, this kind of direct payment might also mean your annual exclusion and lifetime exemption amounts won't be reduced. So, you know, if transferring assets to the kids are something that you're interested in doing, you want to make sure you do it in the right way and don't unintentionally cost yourself some of the estate tax planning or gift tax planning exemptions and exclusions. So there's some issues there to be considered. So again, you know, my best suggestion is make sure you discuss these options, you know, with your financial services team, your legal professional, your tax professional, and you want to stay current as well on what these limits are on an annual basis, because depending on Congress's mind and the IRS, you know, these numbers can change from time to time. You know, how much you can gift, you know, what the estate tax brackets are, what the lifetime exemption amounts are. And so make sure that you stay up to date on what those numbers are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important. And I think it's just a huge reason to have both a financial professional and tax professional in your corner to alleviate some of that natural economic anxiety we all feel at times, correct?
Well, it is, Tony, and we know one thing for sure, that things seem to be more and more uncertain, you know, in our economy, and in the financial world, in the political world, and with legislative changes. And you really need, as I've said, and will continue to say, you really need to have a team of professionals in your corner. Let's talk a little bit more about trusts here for a few minutes. You know, if your child is the beneficiary of a trust fund, it might seem pretty reasonable to make distributions from the fund to help out your child. And you may even consider at some point ditching the trust altogether. Once your child reaches that level where you as a parent are confident and you have a large measure of assurance that they can handle the funds. But, you know, again, depending on how you see the long haul play out, that might not be the best strategic move, you know, just ending the trust and giving the child the funds outright. One alternative to simply, you know, cashing out the trust fund is using some of the cash in the trust, maybe purchase assets for the child. And one example might be, you know, if your child is ready to buy their first house, instead of giving them the cash out of the trust, let the trust itself make the purchase of the home and be the property owner, and the child could live there in the home, let's say rent free. You know, in the example I'm just citing, you know, the home is an asset of the trust, and therefore it has the same creditor protection as other assets that are held in the trust. And, you know, this could be helpful if your adult child one day runs into any type of creditor issues. You know, if they're involved in some type of large lawsuit because of an accident or something that goes beyond the coverage levels on their auto insurance or on their homeowner's insurance. And we need to say this as well. Might be some protections afforded there if they were to find themselves, you know, in a messy divorce. If they don't own the asset, it's not going to be, you know, part of the settlement. You know, the trust owns it. So something to keep in mind there when you're looking at, you know, the long-term protection of assets.
Yeah. Oh, definitely something to consider. And I think, you know, there's probably potential tax benefits to going that route as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. If your child doesn't need the money that's in the trust at any point during their life, you know, leaving those assets untouched within the trusts means that they're not going to be included in the child's estate for the purposes of estate taxes, you know, after their death. And, you know, while right now it seems like the estate tax exclusion is pretty high, we know because of the debt issues and the government's need for money that how much you can pass tax-free is likely to change. And again, if the funds are in the trust and not in the individual's name, there could be some significant benefits there, you know, to the heirs. So again, a lot of considerations, and we encourage you to take you know, that helicopter view of things and see how one decision might impact another decision. And oftentimes, it's hard to look down the road 30, 40, 50 years at the what ifs, but you want to try and step back at any decision that we're going to make and just say, okay, if I do this, what might it prevent me from doing or prevent my child from doing, you know, down the road as they're working through their financial plan? And,
yeah,
you know, obviously everything depends on how the trust is structured. And again, that makes working with your legal professional, your legal experts, absolutely essential. Let's move on now and start talking about a second Kiplinger article. We're not going to make it all the way through this today, and we'll be back next week with part two of this this series. But the second Kiplinger article is titled Four Tax Smart Ways to Share Wealth with Kids. And I think there's some more good information in here. And we've talked about custodial accounts for most of the show today. But this second article talks about some things that that we've not touched on, but we do want to make sure that we have as part of this discussion. And this one could be, you know, a potential complication. You know, if investment income from these accounts are sufficient enough, it could trigger what we refer to as the kiddie tax, which could make the child's income taxable at a larger rate than yours as the parent, and similar income brackets for non-grantor trusts. But, you know, don't forget that your state, again, you know, different states have different rules. Your state where you reside may have a lower threshold than the federal government that could trigger the kiddie tax. And so this is a great place to have a discussion with your tax preparer. And again, you know, work closely and make sure that you discuss these things before you begin to implement, you know, any of the ideas that we throw out here on our show.
Well, right. And I think that you've given us a lot to think about on the show today. It seems like all of these financial steps or options need to be weighed against possible tax implications. And that means it's important to work with somebody like yourself, right?
It is, Tony. You know, and we've seen a lot over our 42 years, you know, in the financial services business now. We can share some personal insights, you know, from that experience and point you in a direction. But then we've got to do the work and pull together all the information, consult with the areas that we need to, from the, you know, the attorney or the CPA, and put together, you know, a comprehensive plan. That's one of the things that we really focus on here at Compass Retirement Advisors is having a comprehensive plan, not just to accumulate assets and not to just create income for us during retirement, but also we want to have, you know, a legacy distribution plan that passes our estate, the things that we've worked hard to accumulate and made sacrifices to accumulate. You know, we want to pass those to our heirs in the most tax efficient manner. And we don't want to do something that inadvertently creates a financial burden or a tax burden on our children. So I hope you'll join us again next week. We're going to talk more about this issue of wealth transfer as we baby boomers make plans to transfer assets, you know, to our heirs. And we'll have part two of this show for you next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions about your retirement savings, about 401ks, IRAs, ESOP rollovers, anything like that, please give me a call at 812-787-0809, and we'll be happy to answer your questions, and we'll just see where that conversation leads. I appreciate you joining us today. Remember to tell your friends and family about us. Again, my phone number is 812-787-0809.
All right, and that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with our host, Mike Graber. Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, the Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained here and is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.